Well, you're listening to Quad Rocks, God, the World, and Other Things. I'm Kenny Price, your host. Our mission, you got it, advancing equilibrium in the midst of an agitated world. Hey, you're not going to believe this. I can't hardly believe it. This is Season 19, Episode 400. Play the celebration music. Title, The Pitfalls of Self-Awareness. Subtitle, Look to Jesus and Not Yourself. Self-awareness is glorified in the world and the local church today. The spiritual leaders in our nation who are perceived by the masses as being the most successful in mastering the spiritual life in Christ, those men and women who are going to, quote-unquote, unpack God's word for us, those who are going to break it down into bite-sized pieces for us to digest the word of God, in fact, model for us the self-inflated ego that says, I have great faith. I shall not fall. Those with poor little faith may, but I never shall. In their hearts, by their actions, and through their instructions, they say, I have fervent love. I can stand. There is no danger of my going astray. As odd as it may sound, my friend, there is such a thing as being proud of grace. From a Christian spiritual perspective, being proud of grace is manifested in an inordinate self-awareness that can present several challenges. Number one, pride and ego. Excessive self-awareness can lead to pride and a focus on oneself rather than on God. It can inflate the ego and hinder humility, which is absolutely a Christian virtue. Number two, selfishness. Overemphasis on self-awareness can lead to a self-centered focus, neglecting the needs of others and failing to follow the teachings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, such as loving one's neighbor as oneself. Number three, spiritual distraction. Constant self-analysis can distract from spiritual growth and devotion to God. Did you know that? But what in fact really needs to take place is we need to get our minds and hearts focused on God Almighty. Instead of focusing on God's will and guidance, excessive self-awareness may lead to preoccupation with one's own thoughts, feelings, and desires. Number four, faulty self-perception. Without the guidance of spiritual principles, self-awareness may lead to a skewed perception of oneself, resulting in either inflated self-importance or excessive self-criticism. Number five, dependence on self. Relying too much on self-awareness alone can foster a sense of self-sufficiency and independence from God, neglecting the dependence on God's grace and guidance. In Christian spirituality, self-awareness should be accompanied by humility, a focus on serving others, and a deep connection with God. You may ask yourself, Kenny, where does this come from, this overt, inordinate amount of self-awareness, especially that we see happening in our culture today? The roots of hypersensitivity, promotion, and praise of self-awareness and self-actualization are found in, number one, the obsession and celebration of the emphasis on individualism, where personal autonomy, self-expression, and self-fulfillment are highly valued. This cultural emphasis on the individual has led to a greater focus on self-awareness and self-actualization as means to achieve personal growth and fulfillment. Number two, psychological theories such as Maslow's hierarchy of needs and Carl Rogers' person-centered therapy have popularized the concept of self-actualization as a fundamental human drive. Do you realize that? A lot of modern psychology is actually the inverse of what needs to happen in a person's life. These theories emphasize the importance of self-awareness and personal growth in achieving one's fullest potential. Number three, the self-help movement. The self-help industry has grown significantly, promoting techniques and practices aimed at improving self-awareness, boosting self-esteem, and achieving personal success. Books, seminars, and online courses often promote the idea that individuals have the power to change their lives through self-awareness and self-actualization. Number four, a big one that's come up in just the last 20 years, social media and digital culture. Social media platforms and digital technology have facilitated self-promotion and self-expression on a global scale. People curate and share aspects of their lives, often focusing on personal achievements, experiences, and self-discovery. This constant exposure to curated images of success and self-fulfillment can fuel the desire for greater self-awareness and self-actualization. Number five, the therapeutic culture. Modern society has become increasingly therapeutic in nature, where personal growth, emotional well-being, and self-improvement are prioritized. Therapeutic practices such as mindfulness, meditation, and cognitive behavioral techniques promote self-awareness as a means to enhance mental health and overall well-being. Number six, our consumer culture. My friend, we have an insatiable, constant emphasis on individual desires, aspirations, and identity construction. Marketing and advertising often appeal to individuals' desires for self-improvement and self-actualization by promoting products and services that promise to enhance personal well-being and fulfillment. Against the backdrop of all that, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, "So whoever thinks he stands must be careful not to fall." 150 years ago, Charles Spurgeon made the insightful statement that he who boasts of grace has little grace to boast of. Some who do this imagine that their graces can keep them, knowing not that the stream must flow constantly from the fountainhead, or else the brook will soon be dry. He then gives this warning, "Take heed that you glory not in your graces, but let all your glorying and confidence be in Christ and His strength, for only so can you be kept from falling." His prescription for avoiding the pitfalls of self-awareness is to be much more in prayer, spend longer time in holy adoration, read the scriptures more earnestly and constantly, watch your lives more carefully, live nearer to God, take the best examples for your pattern, let your conversation be remindful of heaven, let your hearts be perfumed with affection for men's souls. Wow, my friend, that is a powerful one. Let your hearts be perfumed with affection for men's souls. My friend, it would be a good exercise to just listen to this list over and over every day. And I tell you, it bears repeating because as I read these things, I think about others in my life and other ministers that I have known in my life that have let these basic things lapse and they end up in a self-inflated, self-awareness, imploded ego that is away from God. I remember a prominent minister within the state in which I lived. He openly admitted to me, as we were going to lunch one day, that he didn't have time to have a spiritual devotion. He was too busy. I was shocked at what he said, that he actually admitted to me that he did not spend time with God doing these things, to be much in prayer, spending longer time in holy adoration. That means just taking time out of your busy day to stop and to tell God how crazy you are about Him, how thankful you are for Him, and how much it means to you that He is in your life. To take time to read the Scriptures more earnestly and constantly. To watch our lives more carefully. To live nearer to God. To take the best examples for your pattern. I've talked about that in recent podcasts. To think on these things, these great things. To let your conversation be remindful of heaven. Let your hearts be perfumed with affection for men's souls. So live that men may take knowledge of you that you have been with Jesus and have learned of Him. And when that happy day shall come, when He whom you love shall say, "Come up here," may it be your happiness to hear Him say. As Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, he made this claim, but we need to hear this from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on that special day when we finally come before His presence, to hear Him say, "You have fought the good fight. You have finished the race. You have kept the faith. There is reserved for you the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give you on that day, and not only to me, but to all those who have loved His appearing." My friend, I say on, Christian, with care and caution. On with holy fear and trembling. Go on with faith and confidence in Jesus alone, and let your constant prayer be, "Uphold me according to your word." My friend, He is able, and He alone, to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. And with that, my friend, I bid you peace.